We're going to go ahead into our Bible this morning into Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And I'm going to ask Cleo to come up and if he'll read verses 1 through 16. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is teaching and he's training his disciples. And as we get in here, we're gonna see the parable that he gave. And again, I'm not giving you anything new this morning. I'll be honest with you, I'm not giving you anything new. But we're gonna rehearse some old, which will kind of help us because a lot of times, what takes place after a large event that we had yesterday, discouragement will set in if we're not careful. And I want to help us understand the seed that was sown and how it was received, and we're going to look at that this morning. So, Brother Cleo, if you'll come up in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 16.
Good morning, friends and family. I just want to encourage you that the Bible tells us that our works will not return void. And we don't know if somebody went home and got down on their kitchen floor while doing some dishes and repented to the Lord right then and there. So don't get discouraged. We've got a great God, a loving God, and we'll know our fruits when we get to heaven. Not that we'll care about them once we get to heaven. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 16. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching, showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable, and a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And another fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fall among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or put it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light."
All righty, let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer. We thank you again this morning for the opportunity to be here in your house, and Lord, to give you the first day of the week. And Father, I pray now that you would just guide us and direct us in our time of Bible. And Lord, I pray that you would, the fruit that was sown yesterday, Lord, I just pray that you would cause folks to come to know you as their personal Savior because of it. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us an understanding of the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the things that we need to see here this morning. And we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, as we look at this portion of the scriptures, I want to take us back to verse number 1. in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his ministry here, while he was on earth in his earthly ministry for 3.5 years, he was very busy. He was preaching and teaching, and one of the biggest things that I want to point out here, and we see it so clearly here in verse number one, and it says, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." Now again, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his ministry, as the Bible tells us here, he went preaching and teaching throughout every village. But what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing while he was on his earthly ministry here as well is he was teaching and training those who would carry on the gospel. And the Bible tells us here that the Lord went about doing this, and he had his 12 disciples with him. In verse number 2, it talks about several ladies. In verse number 3, several ladies that were with the Lord Jesus Christ and ministered to him. And as we get into verse number 4 and it goes on, you find out that there was a large multitude of people this parable was given. But what at the end of this parable and the verses that go down is kind of strange, because the disciples they were asking what the meaning of the parable was. The Lord Jesus Christ explained to them that the parable was given so that those that heard would not understand, and those hearing those seeing might not see, and those hearing might not. And you might look at that and you might think, well, why in the world would Jesus do something like that? Why would he give a parable that people didn't understand and they couldn't see? Now again, what we've got to trust the Lord, and we've got to trust the Word of God, and we've got to live by faith. He's all knowing, and what I've seen throughout the Word of God, and even in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, for example, you take the feeding of the 5,000. We know that was the Bible tells us there were at least 5,000 men there. That wasn't including the women and children that were all there. They were sitting there. They were fed. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself as the Messiah. And up to that point, that large multitude was following him all over the place. They would go, and any time as he was in that mountain, he had gone up into that mountain aside and was taking some time to teach and train his disciples, and the multitude followed him up there. And he did many healings, and in this chapter or in the chapter prior, he done some healings, and there were many things that the Lord Jesus Christ did, and there were many people that followed him. And for as I was saying, for example, the feeding of the 5,000, he had a large group of people that were following him, even watching and participating in the miracle of many, many people being fed by 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But when the Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to them and announced to him, or to them, that he was indeed and in fact the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Bible says they all departed. And that multitude that had been following, that multitude that had benefited from the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, that multitude of people that had benefited from different healings, all of them, all of the sudden, decided, well, this is not for me. I don't believe that. I'm not going to accept that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and they went. And now in chapter 8 here of Luke, what we see is the Lord Jesus Christ is busy about his ministry. He's going through the villages and the towns, and he's preaching, and he's showing glad tidings. He's doing miracles, and he's doing all these things, and he has the 12 with him and some people. And what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing is he was training them, and he was teaching them, and he was showing them things that they needed to know, and some things that they needed to understand. And he gave this parable. And then he picks up in verse number 11 and he begins to explain the parable to the disciples. And to these ladies that were that were there, and the people that stayed and ministered, and to his followers, he began to share with them the disciples. And you say, well, preacher, what does this have to do with us, and what does this have to do with yesterday? Well, yesterday we had the privilege and the joy of preaching, sharing the gospel, opening up our church and our lives, allowing the community to see, and the gospel was sown, and the word of God was sown, and there's seed that are sown. But if we're not careful and if we don't understand how that seed landed, we might get discouraged. We might think, well, you know, why should we ever do that again? Why should we ever go to all of that trouble? You know, why should we go through all of that planning, all of that expense, if it's not going to yield? And again, as you know, you might look around this morning. Well, if we had over 200 people come through here this morning, well, where are some of them today? You know, why aren't they here? Well, I would that they were. But you know, our responsibility as born-again believers is to preach and teach the gospel. Our responsibility is to give the gospel. What people do with the gospel is entirely up to them. Now, do I believe that all those people that came through here yesterday, none of them will get saved as a result of being here? No, I don't believe that. Now, we may not see it until we get on the other side of glory. We may not see it for a few years down the road. And as the Bible says, you know, and Paul talked about in Corinthians that he planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. And what we did yesterday is we sowed seed. Church, that is our responsibility. That is our mandate. That is our command. That is what God has instructed us to do as a church. And we're instructed to do that until the Lord takes us out. And until the Lord calls us on the rapture, and we wind up in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, understanding what happens to the seed, and Jesus begins to explain the parable in verse number 25 or in verse number 12. It says here, those, speaking of the seed that was sown by the wayside, are they that heard? You know, yesterday, everybody heard. You could not avoid from hearing. First of all, Brother Jones was singing, and Brother Scott was playing, and there were some other folks that participated in singing. I know there were some other folks, including myself, who had the privilege, as people were going through, to take it a little step further, invite them to church, and even share the gospel with them and talk with them. And so yesterday, everybody that came on our church property from the outside heard a gospel message. They heard about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They heard that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. They heard the gospel. Now, what are they going to do with it? The Bible says, those by the wayside are they that heard. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You know, there's some folks that came yesterday that represent this by the wayside soil. And by the way, to kind of help us understand that, in the day that the word of God was written here, many of the fields that were planted by folks, there was a pathway in between them, and that pathway was where folks walked. And the ground got good and packed down in between the fields. And when the farmer would sow, some of that seed would fall on the wayside. Well, that seed being so packed down and so hard, it just hit the top of the surface, and then as the Word of God tells us here, the birds came and devoured it. The birds came and took it away, and that tells us up here in verse number 5, that it was trodden under foot, and the fowl of the air devoured it. You know, some of the seed that we sown yesterday, some folks that heard it, and again, I believe with all my heart, God spoke to their heart, but they decided that, hey, that just isn't for me. I don't want it. And they allowed the devil to steal it from them. They allowed the devil to take it from them. You know, we did our job. We did what God commanded us to do. We did what God told us to do. We gave them the gospel. What they did with it, well, that's their responsibility, and they will, I guarantee you, they will answer for it. They will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, or they'll stand at the great white throne judgment, and they will bow down, and they will confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, but unfortunately, at the great white throne judgment, it will be a little too late. They'll spend eternity in hell, but they will bow, they will bend. And when they go, and when they are spending their eternity in heaven, you know, the devil likes us, you know, and you've heard it and you've seen it on TV, you know, and in different movies where people are in hell and the devil's going around prodding people and poking people and, you know, and they kind of make light of it. But in hell is a horrible place. And everybody that's in hell are going to remember and rehearse it over and over and over and over and over and over again how many times they rejected the gospel. And that means everyone that is in hell and everyone that will go to hell because they refuse to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're going to remember every opportunity that they had, but rejected. And you know, it's sad, but there's going to be some people that showed up here yesterday, had all of the opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and going to remember that day through all eternity. But folks, we were faithful, we were there, we did as God had commanded us to do. We provided the opportunity, we provided the Word of God for them. What they do with it is up to them. And again, that's that hard heart hears it and they look at it and they just allow the devil to steal it away. And then the Bible says in verse number 13, and they on the rock are they which when they heard received it with joy, and these having no root, which for a while believed, and in time, temptation, in the time of temptation, fall away. You know, there are some folks that come by, and that rocky ground is that ground just inside the hard ground. That side, you know, that pathway in between the fields, just inside there, where the tiller or the plow doesn't get to and grind up real good, and the fertilizer doesn't get there real good, and on the edge of the field, things just don't grow very well because of the type of ground, because there's too much rock, there's not enough good fertile soil there, and this is what the Bible's talking about. And the Bible says they on the rock are they which heard, and again, the key word, they heard. Yesterday, they heard, and they received the word with joy. You know, those are those kind of folks that they hear, and they say, wow, you know, hey, that sounds like a good idea. You know, that sounds interesting. That sounds good. Well, I'm happy you gave it. I'm happy you told me about it. I'm happy you shared that with me. And we definitely had some of those yesterday. The Bible says with joy they received it. No, they weren't upset with us. They weren't mad at us. You know, the first group of people, usually they're the ones that, you know, get all offended and get mad and get angry. And, you know, they're the ones that'll slam the door on you. And but the second group, they'll kind of look at you and they'll smile. And truthfully, in their heart, they're glad that you took the time to tell them. But they fall short of receiving it and accepting it as truth and as fact. You know, we've got some people if you talk to them, some lost people that you, if you talk to them, you know, they're not opposed, but they're not for it either. You know, they'll not argue with you, but they're not for it. You know, they're those kind that they hear, and when they hear it, they think, well, you know, hey, I'll try that if it fits in with what looks good. You know, that they kind of look at it, well, how's that look on me? You know, it's kind of like on Friday, in between everything, Tammy and I, we went to JCPenney's and I picked me up a nice sports coat, really cheap. Everything was on sale. But you know, I went in and I was trying on some sports coats. And I would put that sport coat on, and I'd walk up to the mirror and I would see how it looked on me. And I'd think, oh, this color really don't do me well. Or, you know, it's too big, it's too small. And I purchased it, or I did not purchase it, based upon what it made me look like and how it made me feel. You know what? There are some folks that came yesterday. They heard the message. They heard the gospel. They heard, and as they looked at it, and what they decided is, and they still may be in the decision, they may have decided as they thought about it and looked at it, and they thought, well, you know, that's nice and that's all fine and that's all well with those folks and what they're doing there at Faith Independent Baptist Church, but that's just really not for me. You know, it doesn't make me look good. I kind of like the way I am. I kind of like the way I look. You know, and I'm just going to go ahead and stay that way. You know, they can do what they want. I'm going to go ahead and do what I want. You know, so we had some folks that came yesterday. That's what they did with the message that was given them. But the key thing is, folks, they heard. The key thing is, folks, is we delivered a message that God commanded us to deliver. And then as we go down a little further, the Bible says in verse number 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard goeth forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. You know, yesterday we had some folks that came in. They heard. And the Bible says, when they heard, they goeth forth. They heard it, but then what they did is that, you know, they kind of got to looking at maybe the world. They got to looking at other things. They got to looking outside of, and I've had people tell me this before. Well, have you seen the world? Have you seen how corrupt? Have you seen how bad things are? If God was really God, if there was really a God in heaven, it wouldn't be this way. Or I've had some people tell me, well, if God was really real and if God was really true, this circumstance wouldn't have taken place in my life. And if God isn't capable of taking care of this, and if God isn't capable of giving me this or allowing me to have that, then, well, hey, I'm not interested. You see, sometimes folks get so worried about the cares of life, and as the Bible says, they get choked with the cares of life and the riches and pleasure. You know what? There's some folks look at us Christians and they say, well, I don't know that I want to join up with them because, well, I can't go out drinking, cussing, smoking, and dancing and having a good old time. You know, I'll have to live a whole boring, dull life. You know, there are some folks, now I think they're wacky out of their head, but there are some folks that came yesterday and kind of looked at us and thought, it's like the John Wayne Western, McClintock. You know, when the Indian comes and said, you know, fine party, but no whiskey, we go home. You know, there were some folks that probably came yesterday and probably looked at our fall festival and in their minds they said, oh, fine party, no whiskey, we go home. You know, it wasn't what they were looking for. And again, the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, that's what they're interested in. They're interested in, hey, I'm concerned about having a good time. But I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know about you, but I had a great time yesterday. I went home at the end of the day, wore out. Today I've come to church, I'm sore, I'm wore out, my mind's fuzzy. But I'll tell you what, I am content and happy and have joy and peace in my heart. And I am not ashamed of anything that I did yesterday. And I can remember what I did yesterday. But you see, we've got some folks that come and they'll compare it and they'll look at it and they'll think, well, you know, the gospel, the word of God, you know, Christianity isn't for me because I can't have it my way. I can't do it my way. You know, and I can't enjoy the pleasures of this world. You know, I'll tell you what, and some of y'all know what I'm talking about, and I haven't been there maybe as long as some of you all were there, but I'll tell you what, there ain't nothing in the world that they have that I want. Their so-called good times where you wind up hugging a porcelain toilet and puking your guts up, that sounds like a really fine time. You know, I'll tell you what, can't get any better than that. You know, laying on a urine-soaked floor. You know, hey, I had a good time. You know, no, thank you. No, thank you. They can keep it. They can have it. But again, people look at it and they think, well, hey, you know, if I accept Jesus Christ or if I do what God wants me to do, then I'm going to miss out. I'm going to miss out on the riches and I'm going to miss out on the pleasures of this life. And you know what happens? The seed that was sown, the Bible says, brings no fruit to perfection. It just doesn't yield in their life. It's not there. And then verse number 15 tells us, but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest, that's a good word, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. You know, they have not been yet revealed, but I believe with all my heart there were some people yesterday that came. Maybe not yesterday, but we don't know that. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, but that seed that we planted in that good ground, as the Bible says, an honest and good heart. You know, there are some people yesterday that we talked to that were genuinely seeking for something different. You know, they're fed up with what the devil has to offer. They're fed up with what the world has to offer, and they were looking for something different. And what we did is we showed them the Word of God. We shared with them a gospel message, and what we did is we opened up our building, we opened up our hearts, we opened up our lives, and we allowed to see, let them see our light. You know, verse number 16 says, no man, when he hath lit it a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, or setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. You know what we did as a church yesterday? We put our candle on a candlestick. We put it out there, we opened it up, and we allowed the neighborhood and the community to come in and see, first of all, our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And above all, our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and what He means to us. And secondly, we let them see that, hey, even as a Christian, we can have fun. You know, I didn't really see anybody yesterday, especially of our folks, walking around with their head pointed down and sad and not having a good time. Yeah, well, were we working? Yeah, we were working. Were we tired? Yes, we were tired by the end of the day. My from my hips down, my legs and knees and ankles and everything hurt so bad. But I left with joy in my heart. I had a good time yesterday. And what's significant and important about that, folks, is we allowed the world in and we put our candle on a candlestick instead of trying to hide it. And we allowed the world to see. Christians, I want to challenge you in your walk with the Lord this week. Keep your candle on the candlestick. You know, that's all that's sometimes hard to do. that's really hard to do. Because sometimes, our light isn't what it ought to be. And we put it under the only reason you put it under a bushel, or the only reason you put it under a vessel or try to cover it up is because, well, your candle isn't what it should, what it really should be. But I want to challenge you this week. Let's keep our candle on the candlestick. Let's not worry about the ones who didn't. And let's worry about the ones that did. You see, in this group right here that the Lord Jesus Christ had and He was going around and teaching were the 12 disciples and some ladies. And you know what He was doing? He was investing in them. And He was teaching them and showing them. And what He was letting them know by giving them the interpretation of this parable. And again, a parable is a heaven is an earthly example in teaching a heavenly point. And so he stopped and took the time to teach them and show them. Because you know what Jesus knew? That group that was large group that was following around that He stopped and He took the time to teach, He knew most of them would go away. Most of them would not receive the gospel. And what He didn't want the disciples to do is get discouraged. And folks, what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to get discouraged. I want to challenge you. Let's keep going. The Bible tells us, and we've looked at it quite often here recently, in Psalms 126, the Bible says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with us." You know what God promised us? If we'll do our part, He'll do His part, and we won't stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Praise the Lord, if you're saved, born again, you won't be standing before the great white throne judgment. But if you are saved, you will be standing before the judgment seat of Christ and giving an account. And praise the Lord, because of yesterday, no doubt in my mind at all, because there was some weeping, wasn't there, Sister Sandy, going on, of soreness, tiredness, but also, again, as I challenged each and every one of us, and I pray that you did take time to pray. You may not have come yesterday, but you spent time praying and spent time investing. And what the Bible teaches us is because of the investment, we'll not stand at the judgment seat of Christ empty-handed. And folks, we may not. We, on this side of glory, may not see any fruit of yesterday, but I got a good idea I think we will. Let me rephrase that. I got a good idea. I believe we will. But you know, if nothing else, what we did is we invested and planted a seed, shared the gospel that might benefit another church somewhere along the way. And you know, that's not a bad thing either. And so I want to encourage you today. And don't let the devil discourage you. Don't let anybody discourage you about what took place yesterday. And let's keep going. And you know, and the best way that I can think to go is by accepting the challenge of Trinity Baptist Church and just saying, hey, how many tracts in the next 2 months can we get out there? How many tracts? Hey, folks, we have thousands of tracts downstairs. You know what would be great is to have to get some more. It'd be great to be able to say, hey, we run out. Let's run up here to Fellowship Track League and get some more because we don't have any more to give away. You say, can we do that? Yeah, we can. And, you know, there's more people in Northern Kentucky than what we have tracks downstairs. So it would be very feasible to get them out. And again, hey, go to the parking lot of the grocery store, put them on windshields. You go through the grocery store, hand them out. I knew a guy one time, Carlos Dimas, a great man of God. I was on a trip with him, and he was going through the truck stop. And men that were sitting there going to the bathroom, he'd throw them under the door, and he'd say, here, read this while you're sitting there. Read this while you're sitting there. Now, I don't know if any of them ever did, but again, they had the opportunity. You know, there's many ways that we can witness, many ways that we can share the gospel, and I want to encourage us. Let's not lose momentum of yesterday. Let's keep going and keep serving and keep passing out the gospel. And if you're here this morning, or if you're within the sound of my voice through our streaming the service, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd like to take the time to share and tell you that Jesus loves you. He died for you. He paid for your sin. He paid for it in full. And all you have to do is put your faith and trust in Him as the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible tells us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that, and I love this part, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're still breathing, if you're still on this side of eternity, there's still hope. And we'd like to show you how you can be saved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to You in prayer. Lord, we thank You for the day that You've given us. Lord, we thank You for yesterday. Lord, we thank You for the joy and privilege we had to worship You yesterday in service. And Lord, by presenting Your word and by giving out the word of God. And Lord, we just thank You for that. And now, Father, we pray that You'd encourage us to move forward, to and to be fervent in continuing to witness and getting the gospel message out. And Father, I pray for Your will to be done. Now, Lord, I pray that You'd bless in our time of invitation. And Lord, I pray that You would work on the hearts and lives of people. Lord, I don't know where You've been working in their hearts and lives, but they do. And I pray that they need to use the altars, Lord, they would. And Lord, I pray that You just help us. In Your name we pray. Amen.